Welcome to Managing Tech Millions, the podcast for tech professionals navigating the journey from high earners to confident wealth managers. Struggling with equity compensation decisions? Are you curious about turning your portfolio into a thriving, scalable business? You're in the right place. Master your millions, own your legacy. Join us each week as we uncover strategies, share actionable insights, and help you take charge as CEO of your financial future. This tweet blew me away. Roughly 160 people in Austin, Texas are about to make over $100 million from the upcoming SpaceX IPO, and 12 of them will clear $1 billion. That's a staggering amount of wealth created almost overnight. Now, the $3 million I cleared on my first IPO pales in comparison to this, but I bet many of them are about to make the same mistakes I made on mine, because many of them are likely just like me, first-generation wealth without a playbook of how to handle it. So if you're a SpaceX employee, you've been through an IPO before, you've sold a business, you've inherited wealth, or you're staring down any kind of sudden wealth event, stay with me. Because in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to walk you through the 7 decisions you need to make before the windfall hits. Number one, know exactly what you own. The first decision isn't a portfolio move. It's a paperwork move. And it happens before a single share unlocks. And it's one most people skip. Understand your stock agreement. You want to know if you have incentive stock options, ISOs, or restricted stock units, RSUs, because the tax treatment is different. The vesting mechanics are different, and the strategic plays available to you are very different. You can upload the stock agreement into Claude or your preferred AI tool using the prompt shown on the screen now and quickly get the answers you need. This is the most boring decision on the list, but it's also the most important, because if you skip it, every decision you make next is built on a misunderstanding of what you actually own. Number two, build the team before the event. The second decision is about your team, and most first-generation wealth builders get the order wrong. The default move is, oh, let me call a financial advisor first. But the highest leverage team members are the one who help you before the money lands. You need two roles in place before the IPO. Number one, an estate attorney who structures the trusts and entities you may want to move stock into before the company prices. And a certified tax planner, what I'll call a CTP, who can help you plan all the strategic tax moves before the IPO. Because after the IPO, many of the options that you have before are completely off the table. The investment advisor and bookkeeper come later. They're important, but not where your focus should be before the liquidity event. Number three, pre-liquidity estate planning. The third decision is one most first-gen wealth builders don't even know exists until it's too late. What estate planning moves do you make before the IPO prices? The hours before an IPO are the cheapest hours of your life to move wealth into trusts, into vehicles for your kids, into charitable structures. Once the stock is liquid and at peak valuation, every one of those moves becomes dramatically more expensive, and some become impossible. I'm not going to walk you through which structures to use. That's a conversation with your estate attorney, which is why they are one of the key players on your initial team. Number four, the buy-in decision. The fourth decision is about timing. Are you going to buy shares yourself? Depending on what equity you have, you may have the option to exercise early, to purchase your shares before they fully vest at specific windows your agreement spells out. Many employees skip this. Either they don't know it's an option, or they don't want to pay out of pocket for something that already feels like theirs. Many people also feel like they have to buy all the shares. They don't understand that, no, it's not binary, buy all the shares or not. Sometimes you can take a small position, get better tax treatment on that. But here's why it matters. Early exercise paired with an 83B election filed within 30 days can shift a meaningful chunk of your proceeds from ordinary income rates to long-term capital gains rates. This decision you have to make, it's not the default. Five, the lockout discipline. Decisions 1 through 4 all happen before the IPO prices. Decisions 5 and 6 are where most of the damage gets done, or the real wealth gets built. They're about what happens after the ticker hits the public markets. For most IPOs, you can't sell your shares for 180 days. And during that time, there can be a lot of price volatility. You feel rich one week, less rich the next, and richer than you've ever been the week after that. It can feel like a roller coaster that you can't get off of. This is where many people have sleepless nights. So during this period, don't use the lockout to react. Use it to plan. While everyone else is checking the price 40 times a day, you're going to be focused on the next two decisions. Number six, the exposure decision. The sixth decision is the question nobody else is asking you. How much SpaceX do you actually want to own when the lockout ends? If you took home $5 million from this IPO and let it ride in SpaceX stock, you're a person with $5 million concentrated in a single ticker. That is not investing. That is crossing your fingers and hoping that it goes up and to the right. But remember, concentration builds wealth. Diversification preserves it and grows it over time. Now, you can't make this decision in real time. If you open your trading app the day of the unlock, the chances are your emotions are going to make the call. It's either fear telling you to sell everything or greed telling you to hold everything. Neither one is a true plan. You need to be building your divesting plan now, and it should answer these three questions. Number one, what's your enough number? The amount that moved into safer structures funds the life that you're building. Number two, what concentration are you willing to keep writing? Above the enough number, how much SpaceX exposure can you live with through a 40% drawdown? Because that is the actual test. And three, what's the cadence? Do you sell all at unlock, quarterly over 2 years, price trigger? Many insiders use a 10b5-1 plan, which is a prearranged selling schedule filed in advance. It removes emotion from the trigger. It's a divesting dollar cost averaging. Remember, you're not selling SpaceX, you're funding the rest of your life. And there's one more decision you need to make about that life. Number seven is the family communication plan. The last decision isn't about the money. It's about the people the money is for, and it's the one I get asked about more than any other. When wealth lands, your family changes. Whether they know about it or not, the question isn't whether you communicate it, it's whether you communicate it intentionally or by accident. There are two ways that I see this go sideways. The first is silence. Parents who say nothing because they don't want to spoil their kids. The kids grow up around wealth signals, the house, the schools, the vacations, with no context. So they invent the story themselves, and it's usually wrong. The second is the wealth dump. You gather the family, announce the number, the kids hear, "We're rich," and the conversation ends. No framework, no values, no context, a number that warps every relationship that follows. You don't want to do either of these. But here's the part that took me the longest to figure out. All of those decisions sit on top of a single question. And if you can't answer that question, every decision underneath it gets harder. The question is this: what is the wealth for? It sounds soft and fluffy, but it isn't. It's the most operational question that you can ask, because the answer determines your tax strategy, your portfolio structure, your team, your timeline, and the conversation you have with your family about every dollar of it. In the Wealth Ops framework, we call your answer the legacy statement. It's the North Star for every financial decision that you make from here. When you have the legacy statement, the decisions I walked you through stop being tactical and they become strategic, because now every one of them points somewhere on purpose. If you have between $1 million and $30 million in net worth, whether that's from an upcoming IPO, a business sale, an inheritance, or years of disciplined earning, and you're ready to actually implement this, I would love to have you at our next live workshop. It's a 2-hour deep dive on implementing the architect phase for your microfamily office. You'll walk away with a legacy statement, an investment thesis, and a portfolio structure tailored to your goals. At the time of recording this, we've had over 2,000 people just like you come through this workshop. Head to wealthops.io/go or click the link below this video to register. Our next workshop is likely in just a few days. Now, after you sign up, check out this video on the microfamily office model. We go deep on it in the workshop. Let's keep building.